This is the National Finance Committee for August 27th, 2019 for the Pacifica National Board. Open session. Having quorum present, we are going to proceed with the roll call. Mr. Secretary, can you read the roll?
Yes. Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Here.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah. James Sagerton. Nancy Sorden. Tamara Swiderski.
Here.
Okay, that's eight.
All right. So I sent the final revision of the agenda out 38 minutes ago, but I'll read it now. Convene meeting, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Roll call. Approve agenda. Item 4, minutes approval. I believe that's for July 23rd. Discussion of possible item 5, discussion of possible strategies for allocation of payments among divisions. Preliminary. 45 minutes. CFO update, March financials, audit progress, and accounting system updates, 15 minutes, that's item 6. Item 7, statement on status of loan documents from chair and motion to circumvent impasse, 25 minutes. 8, any new business, and 9, adjourn no later than 10:15 Eastern Standard Time. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda?
Okay, so you've just made that motion, right?
Yes. Well, I need to move to approve the agenda, I guess, huh? I'm going to do that now. Does anybody object to the agenda as read? Hearing no objections. Item 4 is minutes approval. I think the minutes have been out and about for over 2 weeks now, if you want to dig through and look at them. But I'm assuming everybody's done that by now. Are there any changes to the minutes as sent, or can we approve those?
It's Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
I sent out a really minor change. I think it was before the last meeting. I think it was the word aid, AID should be said. It's just one letter was dropped.
Okay.
That was fixed.
Okay, thank you.
Any other changes? Okay. I'm moving to approve the minutes of July 23rd with the one typo change. Are there any objections to that motion? Hearing no objections, we're on to item 5, discussion
Nancy.
Of possible. Go ahead. Sorry. Nancy, are you there?
Nancy, I'm here. I just wanted to let you know I'm here. I'm going to mute.
Thank you. Thank you. We're on item 5 of the agenda. Have you received a copy of that, Nancy?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Great. We just got into the beginning of the discussion of possible strategies for allocation of payments among divisions. So how I want to break this down, if we could, is that there's kind of a general discussion that we need to have before we look at the specific methods of allocating the interest payments for the loan. The general discussion goes along the lines of, the timing and the amount of these interest payments, because there's three that I came up with. If you guys come up with another one, let me know. Three different ways of allocating these payments that I could think of. One is one that we discussed in the previous meeting, which is full payments starting in December. We have a payment coming up in September for $23,000, which is going to end up being covered by the endowment that was received, I believe. I hope I'm I hope I'm right about that. I don't know if the proceeds have actually been funded yet, but I believe that
they're there now.
Okay,
okay,
great. All right, that's great. So that'll take care of that payment and buy us a little bit more time to work out some of the details that we're talking about this evening. So one is full payment starting in December. That's about approximately $70,000 per quarter across the network. The second method would be that we could do reduced payments starting that same period using what remains of the $200,000 that's been allocated from the endowment. And then spreading that over the remaining term of the loan. I'm not sure exactly what that works out to, I think it cuts it by about a third. So it'd be somewhere in the $40,000 to $50,000 per quarter range across the network. And then the third method would be just to wait until those interest funds run out and start full payments in approximately the middle of next year. I think the first payment would be due in June. Those are the three methods I could think of to do this. Are there any other schemes that people can come up with? General schemes, not breaking down by individual stations for making payments on the interest.
This is Sharon. Before you go to other schemes, I didn't quite get your third scheme there, or your third strategy that you outlined. Could you just say that again?
Sure. So I think we can quickly do the math here. So if $23,000 is due for the first payment, that leaves $177,000 in the escrow account for payments to the interest, and that would cover two payments, which would be the March payment. The December payment. I'm going 1 month early, by the way, instead of going January and April or whatever. So the December payment and the March payment, or January, February, March payment would be covered. That's $140,000, and then there'd be $27,000 left over. So the first payment would come due in June. That wouldn't quite be a full payment because there'd be a little bit left over in the escrow account as of that juncture. Assuming that we wanted to use all of the set aside funds for interest payments to cover ourselves until then, we can't really start any later than next June making those interest payments.
Sorry, John, I'm late.
Can I just ask another question though? Because you're on the PNB and you have other information, so. When you're talking about that, you're talking about the funds that were already set aside from the $3.2 million loan in the escrow.
I'm sorry, Sharon. There is another source of funding that's become available. There was an endowment that was given to Pacifica in the amount bequest in the amount of, I believe, $574,000. $200,000 of that was set aside for interest payments, and so that went into the escrow account. So those would add to the funds that remain in there, which I think are on the order of 50,000. That's about right. And so there'll be about 250,000 laying in there right now for the purpose of interest on the loan. That was a decision that was made by the interim general manager,
executive director.
Thank you. And so that set aside could be used for these purposes.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I'm sorry that you weren't filled in on that. That would apply to both B and C, or the second and third options that I just mentioned, but not to the first one. So those are the three basic themes that I can think of. And like I say, I'd be willing to entertain any others that anybody else can come up with.
Chris Mansour's here.
Okay.
Yeah, so is James.
Okay, James.
John Bernal just joined about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah,
hey,
I joined a few minutes ago.
This is Grace.
Who was the fourth person? Who was the fourth person?
This is Grace. I'm on as well.
I got Grace.
I just repeated. I added that I had joined a few minutes ago. I didn't want to interrupt.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So those are the three scenarios that I've been able to come up with, general scenarios for repayment of the interest. Would anybody like to entertain? I can kind of go through these one at a time, unless somebody has an addition to that. Okay. I thought about it for a while, and I think those are the three most logical ones. So the justification for the first one, for doing full payment starting in December, is that we can actually start getting into the principal of this loan, as well as if we can actually make that, if we can actually find sources of funding and make that happen. It would also have the advantage of if there's a shortfall, that we would, that we stand a better chance of reaching the end of the loan without missing an interest payment. So those were the kind of the two overriding objectives or ideas behind suggesting or insisting that full payments start being made in December. Bill and I were both in favor of that. Bill, would you like to add anything to that, or is that did that just about cover it?
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, it's sort of the safest thing, because the worst thing would happen is if we get to a point where we have to pay interest and we can't make the payments. And of course, the next thing is when we get to the end of the loan, if we can't pay off the principal or finance at least part of it.
Right.
So I think we should try for one, but bear in mind, because of cash flow is pretty tight right now, we might not be able to continue that, but I think we should try for option one.
Okay. So the other thing is, of course, that if we can actually make these payments, the full payments on schedule, it would preserve the escrow funds. So that set aside that's sitting in there of about $177,000 at year end would just sit there over the term of the loan, accruing interest and saving us from a possible shortfall down the road. And so that was the thinking of the first suggestion. The second suggestion was, I believe that came from Grace, and that would just make it easier to make these payments over the term, basically reducing the amount of the payments by whatever's in the escrow account divided by the number of payments. And so it would just reduce the burden on a continuing basis over the entire network through the end of the loan. The advantages are pretty obvious. The only disadvantage would be that the escrow funds would be attriting out of the account during that entire time, and possibly leave us short at the end of the term. C is probably the most daring of the three ideas, in that we would just simply have to make the full payments and not be able to miss at all if we took advantage of the escrow funds first before we ever got around to it. Those are kind of the three basic ideas, and I think that unless people want to discuss it further, what should we do here? We should probably decide on one of those three. So maybe I should send out an email on this so that we actually have something in front of us if we're going to vote on this. Unless everybody thinks that they have it in their head well enough for me to just ask, if we can run down a vote, one, two, or three, and see what everybody wants to do.
Bill for the stack.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, what do we do? I think we should just phrase it as a recommendation to management, because, they have to be able to manage cash flow all the time, and sometimes things come up between meetings.
Sure. That's fine.
Nick Arena for the stack.
Arpal.
Go ahead, Nick. Okay, I got you down, Arpal. Go ahead, Nick.
Chris, you've used a term that I just want to clarify several times, escrow account. The funds that were part of the bequest actually restricted and then separated, or is it more of an internal designation that we are going to hold the funds for certain purposes? Because when you use a term like escrow, that seems to say that they aren't available for general use.
I was referring to an actual account that I believe was set up as part of the loan provisions for a set aside for the interest payments. In other words, we would just be adding to an existing account. I believe it's an actual physical account.
That's correct.
And I think the designated purpose of that account is strictly for interest payments. So I don't believe that these funds would be used for general purpose, nor were they designated for that purpose.
So thank you. So just to clarify, it sounds like there are two separate pots of money. There was money set aside from the loan proceeds that were set aside for the interest payments specifically, and then there was a set of funds that was also provided to the foundation via bequest. So are there really two different pools of funds that we're talking
about? That's correct. Yes, that's correct. Okay. So the remaining balance of the bequest went to a whole slew of purposes. There were pension repayments. There was a payment to Netta. Grace did a nice job of breaking all this down, and I'm sure she could forward you the email if you were interested in seeing that.
That's great. So there's approximately $200,000 left of the bequest. How much is the amount of funds that were set aside from the loan proceeds for the interest payments? Does anybody know?
It was large, but I can't remember. Nancy, do you know that?
Yeah,
number?
It was about $350,000, of which there is about $45,000 left, and that's in the eleemosynary money market account, and that the payments for the interest have been taken out of there, and then the $200,000 from the bequest was also put in there and commingled with the money that was left over from the money from the loan.
Right. So there's approximately a $250,000 in there right now.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Sure. Arpal?
Yeah. In looking at these, I'm wondering if maybe we should really consider that second one, because Pacifica has a history of having to make these kinds of payments, but never this large in the past, and it hasn't always gone smoothly. I think that maybe trying to see if we can do reduced payments first might be a good idea, because if we find we're having a lot of trouble with making the reduced payments and, you know, throwing in some from the escrow, then we're going to say, uh-oh, we have a problem, and we'll have to start working on it. I think, in fact, that will probably be the fallback if we run into trouble doing number one, which is full payments starting in September. And, I would think maybe, I think maybe number two is probably going to be something that comes in no matter what, because we're going to have to come up with the money. For number three, that would be dangerous. But I think we should think about two. If everybody wants to go with one, we can try that, but with the idea that we may just fall back into option number two simply because we have to. So I would prefer two, but if we want to do one, that's okay.
Okay. I'm going to suggest that we just drop number three. I'm in agreement with you that I think it's a very dangerous road to go down. We're kind of gambling that we're going to be able to come up with 100% of the funds, and depleting our resources in the meantime just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So that'll make it easier to select between the two. Is anyone a strong advocate of the third option? Okay. So we basically have two on the table. Is there any more discussion that we want to have over those two options?
Sharon for the stack.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, you know, I would prefer option one because it seems to make the most sense in terms of financial, you know, responsibility, you might say, financially preserving the most assets, as you said, and having, you know, the escrow fund continue to gather interest, and, you know, we still have to pay off the loan. But you know, the problem I'm having with the discussion is that it seems like, how could that possibly happen? So I keep trying to think, yeah, we should pay it. We should work to have the stations pay it off in full, option one. But how would that even happen? And so then I don't know what to do. And even the same, then I think with number two, I think, well, it's just kicking the can down the road. It's the same question. It just stretches the question out over a longer period of time. And then I wonder, is it better to have the question brought to the front immediately, or is it better to wait to have the question resolved? Because either way, there's not really a way where Pacifica seems to be able to come up with money to more money, even though I constantly hear how the program is going to get better and listenership is going to increase, and all of a sudden all this money is going to start pouring in. I don't know. I just heard that so many times. So that's my problem, is I agree theoretically with option one, and when I think of the finances, I don't even know what to do.
Right. Understood.
Lyndon for the stack.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
Yeah, a couple times recently, the interest on the money in escrow was brought up, and it also mentioned money market. I mean, are we making 0.1% on a $250,000 or for what?
I don't know the answer to that, actually. I haven't looked into the interest that account is bearing. I did ask that question at one point, but I didn't follow it up. Nancy,
well, that could.
Does anyone know?
Well, I was going to say that won't solve our problems, but it's something
no.
we ought to look at, because we could, you know, we could put some of it in a 3-month money or 6-month, you know, CD or something, make a lot more than that. And as far as plan one or plan two, I think I'm going to be leaning with plan two, because I think that'll give us 3 more months to look, you know, to focus. Okay, guys, we're giving you a reduced rate this first 3 months to see if you can make it. You know, you got to stay focused, because 3 months after that, it's going to be the full rate or something. And I just think that's going to be better psychologically.
Okay.
Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I can look up exactly what interest we earned. I think, as I recall, I was kind of surprised that it wasn't that much. I don't know what the going rate for money markets is, but I suppose if we put some of it in a CD, it could potentially earn a lot more than what it's earning right now. And we were required to put it in there, but we're not required to put in, you know, what we're paying, you know, our money, but we were required to put the loan money in there. But now we're free to put it in like a CD or someplace like that. And just,
right.
I kind of
like the idea of doing a rolling 3-month CD, because it would come up on the exact same terms as the payments were required. So
I think
that's a pretty good idea. Anyone
Nick
else?
For the stack. Nick for the stack.
Go ahead, Nick.
So two questions. One is that I didn't, regarding the reserve for the that was set aside out of the loan proceeds, if it started at $200,000 and now it's down to $45,000, I was under the understanding that we didn't have to make any interest payments until October 1st of 2019. What happened to the...
The amount was actually much higher than that. It was closer to $350,000, according to Nancy, and I think that's correct.
What happened to those funds?
Well, they've all been paid to interest. So that account has been diminished by $70,000 per quarter under the terms of the loan.
I see. So it's not correct that we didn't have to start paying interest beginning October 1st, 2019. We've had to pay interest prior to that. So, okay, that clarifies that point.
Yeah.
The other point I would bring up is that, the loans themselves, again, we don't have all the information to know this all for sure, but from what's been shared about the details of the loan terms, that the loan itself is very well secured by real estate at this point, and for us to have a very short payback on that real estate loan, of the time period that's been suggested isn't really necessary, in that real estate loans can be amortized for a much longer period of time than just a few years. I'd argue for paying the interest at the most minimal level and have the loans refinanced, given the fact that they're well secured by commercial real estate, that we could get more favorable repayment terms extended over a longer period of time and have a much better interest rate. When these loans were put in place, the cost of money was much higher than it is right now. Long-term interest rates have fallen dramatically over the last 18 months. And I think the committee should consider how we might get the loans refinanced at more favorable rates that would lessen the burden on the not only the interest payments, but also provide some breathing room on paying back the principal over time. So I know we're considering two options, but, one option that we might also consider is how do we refinance the loans that gives us more flexibility and therefore move in that direction and limit the interest, limit what we're paying back as far as principal, because we are more than well secured on those loans.
I don't believe that other than the principal payment that was part of the proceeds of the bequest, that we're actually talking about repaying the principal until possibly the end of the term, if there's any money left in that escrow account. If there was, then we could use that to pay down principal at the same time that we were refinancing the loan, if that's the route we end up going.
Bill, for
Nancy, with a question.
Do you mind if I entertain Nancy's question first, Bill?
Sure, it's okay.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I just wanted to get a clarification from Nick. Are you suggesting that we try to do refinancing now rather than at the end of the 3 years when the principal balloons and is finally due, to get a better interest rate?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, if we could provide financial statements that could show the ability to repay the loan, that the time is now to try to refinance, because rates have fallen dramatically since we put this loan in place, and we should be able to do way better than 8.5% interest.
Yeah.
This is Grace
with a stack. Bill, go ahead. I'll get to you in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like what
what Nick was saying, because the rates are low, and I was just looking, and, you know, the, like, mortgage rate, this is essentially a mortgage. Now, it's not, you know, I guess it would qualify as a mortgage because we have the, our buildings as collateral, but, you know, the 15-year loan rates for fixed rate is around just over 3% right now. And we could refinance, if we could refinance it and we get a willing lender, we might want to wait till after our FY18 audit's done, and that should be pretty soon. But we could start looking. We could refinance it before the end of the loan and benefit from the lower rate, you know, for a 10 or 15-year period or something like that. And then we could always pay it off early if we can.
James, for the stack.
Okay, I'm sorry. Who was behind Bill? I didn't write it down. Grace. Lyndon too? Okay.
Okay.
Then James.
I searched for loans before we got the current loan we have. And our credit rating is pretty terrible at the moment, and it was back then. And we're not going to be able to get a conventional loan of any kind until we get our audits done, until our credit rating is improved. I think we need to do whatever we can to get the audits and all of our financial reporting. It may be wise to not try to look for another loan until we have our 2019 audit, but at least the 2018, and then see where our credit rating is and our Charity Navigator score, which right now is pretty terrible. So when I searched for loans, I got two loan offers we could have taken. They were not as favorable as the loan we have. The lowest interest rate I could find in the subprime mortgage arena at that time was 9%. There were other loans available at 11%. So you're looking at, because of our poor credit rating, we would have to pay a real premium in terms of interest rates. And we do have essentially a high interest rate loan relative to other mortgages because of our poor credit rating. So the first thing would be to try to do whatever we can in the short term to improve our credit rating, improve our financial reporting, and then immediately thereafter start looking for a refinance opportunity. And I absolutely agree with Nick. And that is that an amortized loan over a longer term at a lower interest rate should be what we aim for. A conventional loan, I think, is not going to be possible, not in the short term anyway. Maybe, but that would completely depend on being basically A credit. And we're far from A credit at the moment. And what we're talking about with conventional loans is going to a bank and getting a standard mortgage. So I don't think that that's feasible at the moment. But, you know, maybe we can head in that direction. That's all. Hello?
Hi, I got dropped twice. I might have to call back on a landline if it happens again. So I just wanted to add something quick to what Grace just said, and that's that technically I don't think this is a mortgage loan. I think
It is a mortgage. It is a mortgage. It's a loan against – it's a collateralized loan. The collateral is our three buildings. So in a sense, it is a mortgage.
Right. Okay. In a sense, my point is that I think it's a business loan that is secured against the assets of the business. And I understand that is just maybe me using gibberish to describe a mortgage loan. But at the same time, this thing isn't tied to like treasury notes or something conventional that you would consider as a mortgage loan. It's tied to the prime rate, which actually has not fallen very much. It's only fallen a quarter point. So in any case, I don't want to play semantics games with anyone. I'm not sure that the distinction that I'm making is relevant or not. I agree that we can probably get a more conventional real estate type of loan that complies a little bit better with what most people think of.
as real estate mortgage rates, but that's not what we have right now. Lyndon, were you next up?
I believe I was, and okay. I was just going to object to the idea that, you know, interest rates have been plummeting, because I pulled up a chart just like you, and I saw that the prime rate went from 5.5 to 5.25. It did drop the 26th of August, but it's been, you know, 5.5 for a long time anyway. And we're not going to get a 15-year, you know, 3.5 like a house. Even when they advertise those, you don't get that anyway. But, and so I agree with what you and Grace said. And I was just going to jump in there for that. That's all.
Nick, for the stack, for clarification, Chris, if I could. You're comparing two different rates. You're comparing what is a variable rate of interest, and you're correct that variable rates have not gone down very much. That's true, only about a quarter point in the last year. However, fixed long-term rates that are based on U.S. Treasuries have fallen about 2% over that same time period. So there's a difference between variable short-term rates and long-term fixed-term rates. And so when I reference that rates have fallen dramatically, it's the long-term rates, the long-term fixed rates versus the variable rates. And I'm a commercial banker. I deal with this every day. I've been doing this for 30 years. And the market right now for conventional mortgages on a fixed rate basis, it's far, far lower than 8.5%. Grace is correct.
But why are we off prime? Why are we off prime?
I don't know. I don't know why we're on a variable rate, other than the fact that who provided us the financing required that they would only provide us a variable rate of interest rather than a fixed rate of interest, which is, you know, the lender's prices.
I don't think it's the variable part of it. I think it's the fact that we're pegged at prime plus. So we're to start with, 5.5, 5.25 to start with. That's the problem. Yeah. And if we can't get off prime, then we're anyway. I don't think this meeting was called for, you know, quite discussing the rates. But.
No, I mean, I think it's a point that's important for the committee to know is that. In an environment, as Grace points out, if we could show that we have the cash flow that the foundation can make principal and interest payments that were sufficient to repay the loan, and I'm suggesting over using a 25 or a 30-year amortization versus the short-term amortization that our lender's providing, if we could show that we have the free cash flow to do that, then we could actually get a fixed rate of interest from a lender versus being in a variable rate of interest, because a prime plus is a variable rate. Grace is correct. We need to have audited financial statements that show that we have the free cash flow, but perhaps we could get there, and that would be the time that we would really want to refinance, because the market right now is advantageous for having a 5 to 10 year fixed rate of interest that's far lower than what we're paying on a prime plus basis.
Yeah, I agree with all that. So I'd like to keep moving on in this discussion, or we're not going to get through this item. If I could get everybody did anybody have anything super important to add to the to this portion of the discussion, because we still have to get into the specifics here?
I have a request for information.
Sure, go ahead,
James. And I had been on the stack, and I basically agree with what Grace was saying, and I very much appreciated the last speaker's information, as always. I just wondered if this is part of the confidential nature of the loan agreement, then I understand that there's no answer available. But at times I've gotten the impression that we might have had some special connection to the lender, either a personal or, you know, because of our mission And I'm just curious if I'm incorrect in that. I know our lender focuses on, I believe our lender focuses on nonprofits, but do we have any special connection there?
I don't have an answer for that question, and I'm not sure that anyone on the call does. Grace, would you care to answer that question, or is that stepping over the line?
I know of no special connection whatsoever. Even if, but if I did, it would be probably confidential, but not that I know of.
Okay.
I assume that was the case, and I was just wondering if jumping to another lender would jeopardize any benefits we got from such an arrangement. But
now I understand the nature of the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, not to the best of my knowledge, James.
And Bill for the stack.
Go ahead, Bill.
I think we should still try to implement option one, with option two being the fallback position if cash flow gets too tight. But after we complete the FY19 audit, which if we're lucky should be, you know, early next year, by next spring, then we really will be caught up. Well, if FY18 audit's done soon, then FY19, then we might be in a better position to look at refinancing the loan, like Nick was suggesting. Hopefully, interest rates, the long-term rates will still be low then.
I would anticipate that that's the case. So there seems to be some market and economic forces that indicate that rates will continue to fall. I want to just add one thing, though, and that's that there's a big if looming on this, and that's that if the financial statements show something that the lenders would approve of. I don't think that there's any reason to suspect that they will at this juncture, but I am prepared to be happily wrong on that. In any case, it may kibosh any sort of notion that we have of doing a refi with a preferable lender and a preferable rate, just depending on the outcome of those audits. So
this is James with another request for information. When you're done, I apologize for interrupting.
That was the end of my little statement. Go ahead, James.
I'm just curious. You know, there is talk about the clouds of recession in the future, and I know if we could all predict, we wouldn't be here. We'd be somewhere else. But what is the history of the effect of recession on our fundraising? Is there any correlation?
I couldn't answer that question. I haven't been around when the last recession took place, but somebody who I'm sure there's more.
I could give you the general trend if you'd like.
Would like.
The general trend in public media has been that recessions really do affect all fundraising, and it generally, you know, it depends on eras. Back around 2009, we definitely saw a major hit across the board. We recovered. But some stations were down as much as 30%. Others were at 10. But we definitely see it, the recessions do affect giving.
Thanks, John.
You got it.
Okay, so are we at a point now where we can vote between these two options?
Could you repeat what the two options are, nutshell, you know, fingernails sketch?
Sure. So the two options, they're both full term. The first one would be making full payments, in other words, targeting the interest that's actually required by the loan to be paid across the network starting in December. The second one would be reduced payments on the loan starting in December that draw consecutively, proportionately from the escrow account over the remaining term of the loan. The objective there would be to draw down that escrow account to zero as the loan terminates, so there would be no money left in the escrow account at the end of the term. If the other scenario worked perfectly, and I'm not going to speculate as to the likelihood of that, then the escrow funds plus the interest that had accrued in that account could be used to pay down the principal of the loan would get us to about $3 million if we did that, or maybe it would be closer to 3.1.
Bill for the stack again.
Arpal for a fast question for the chair.
Arpal, go ahead and go first. Bill, I'll put you second.
Yeah,
okay.
I just, one, yes, I remember 20-08, it hurt the stations, we were squeezed. Somebody just mentioned that, and you said, thank you, John. Who's John?
Interim executive director, isn't that right?
Is on, oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, I know this may seem a little tough right now with our cash flow and fund driver is dropping, but if we can somehow get revenue up and or cut expenses, say, by the end of this year, this calendar year, by December, then if we could implement option one and show that we can generate enough cash flow to pay full interest payments on the loan before the FY19 audit is completed, the auditor could probably show that, I mean, that's the kind of thing I would think would make it easier to refinance the loan. As Nick was saying earlier, if we can demonstrate to the auditor or anybody else that we have the cash flow by at least early next year to make, you know, the full interest payments now, then we shouldn't have any trouble making payments on a new loan. So I think that's still what we should try to do.
Okay. Can we move to a vote on these two options so that we can get on to the more specific details of this?
Could the chair give us some exact wording for a motion so that we can vote on it?
Sure. So the two options are option one, this vote would be for either option one or two. Option one would be making full payments starting December through the term of the loan with it in mind to not use the proceeds from the escrow account for the remainder of the term. And then option two would be to take the escrow account and use it as a supplement to reduce the payments over the entire term starting in December also. Is that clear enough?
No.
No?
One, you're stating two things. Do you, in order to, a little sloppy, if we, after you get part two phrased, we would then end up having to pick from a list. And the way that works is you would vote on one, probably start with number one, and if that gets a majority, that's it. If not, we go to two, and if that gets a majority, that's it. If neither one gets a majority, we talk about it some more. It is easier if somebody comes up with, here's a motion, period. Choosing from a list, you know, we have to keep in mind that if you choose the first one, that's it. The second one's gone. But I need some wording on the second one again. Option two, please restate option two for a motion.
Okay. All right, do we really want to do it that way? We can't actually just present two options and go either one or two, and then the one that gets the most votes is the one we adopt?
That's almost how it works. But the thing is, you're choosing from the list, and you have to be aware that if the first thing that gets a majority wins, that's it. You don't then go on to the second one and see how it fares. Just letting you know. Because sometimes people get upset when that happens. And also, I don't have any wording for option two here.
Okay. So option two would be using the proceeds of the escrow account to supplement the interest payment. I mean, we have to make the interest payments either way. So option two would be to divide the funds that are in the escrow account by the number of remaining periods and use that to subsidize the interest payments over the remaining term of the loan.
Okay, so that became option two is to divide the funds in the escrow account by the remaining interest periods and to use...
To use those funds to supplement the interest payments over the term of the loan.
Okay,
is that too
so,
confusing?
No, I think we may have it here. Let me... get rid of that because it may come back, so let's do that. All right. The two options would be one, full payment starting in September with it in mind to not use the escrow account for the remainder of the term. Option two would be to divide the funds in the escrow account by the remaining interest periods and use those funds to supplement the interest payments over the terms,
over the term of the loan,
term,
the remaining
term. Yes, terms of the loan. Okay, so that would be...
Term, T-E-R-M, no S.
Yeah, okay, hold on. Let me grab that. All right. Let me do them both again. There is one, full payment starting in September with it in mind to not use the escrow account for the remainder of the term. Option two, divide.
Can I just suggest adding term of the loan there also, just so that they're both consistent? So put
sure.
Term of the loan. Yeah.
Of the loan. Okay, so the escrow account for the remainder of the term of the loan. Option two, divide the funds in the escrow account by the remaining interest periods and use those funds to supplement the interest payments over the term of the loan.
There you go.
All right. So the way this works, I think I already explained it. Maybe I better do it again because I've seen people not like this. If people want, we'll vote on number one. And if it gets a majority, that's it. It's adopted. If it doesn't get a majority, we go to two. All right?
All right.
This is called filling blanks in parliamentary terms.
Thank you, Bill. Mr. Chair, can you take the vote on this?
Yeah, I'm getting it. Hold on. It's the secretary,
okay.
But I'll do that, yes.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Mr. Secretary.
All right.
Forgot who
All
I
right.
was for
So, it. The motion on the floor right now is to do full payments starting in September with
September.
It in mind to not use the escrow account for the remainder of the term of the loan. Okay?
December.
And again, if this gets a majority, that's it. All right, Sharon Adams.
Okay, I'm voting yes for this one, but I don't know if you heard Chris is trying to make a correction to the month.
Okay.
December.
But I vote yes.
September.
No, December.
December, okay.
Yeah.
December, so I'll read it again. Full payments. Yeah, we should probably have something in front of this no matter what. A motion that starts out full payments starting in December. There's no actual verb in this.
Is that December 31st?
Recommends. How about the NFC recommends? NFC recommends the following strategy for paying the interest.
For using the escrow.
The first option doesn't use the escrow account, but okay. I prefer paying the interest. I think that's probably better wording because it applies to both.
Okay, yes. So the NFC recommends the following strategy for paying the interest. Let me put that in the right place so I know what I had later on. And the NFC recommends the following strategy for paying the interest. full payments starting in December with it in mind to not use the escrow account for the remainder of the term of the loan. Okay, Sharon Adams.
Yes.
Nick Arena.
No.
Fred Blair.
Yes.
Chris Corey?
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Lyndon Foley?
No.
R. Paul Martin? I'm going to pass here. Mansoor Sabah?
Thank you for the confusion. I'm going to pass for right now.
James Sagerton?
Pass.
Nancy Sorden?
Could you please read the motion again? Sorry.
The NFC recommends the following strategy for paying the interest. Full payments start.
I don't know about anybody else, but I lost him.
I lost him, too.
I'm here.
I lost him, too.
Can you not hear me?
No.
Not for a moment.
I'm here.
Okay, I got you back.
I'm,
do you know?
Okay. I don't know what happened. All right.
Could you start
you
again?
You want
NFC
to reread?
Recommend? Yeah.
You
yes,
wanted a rereading of the thing. The motion is, the NFC recommends the following strategy for paying the interest. Full payments starting in December with it in mind to not use the escrow account for the remainder of the term of the loan, and we're up to Nancy Sorden.
Okay, so that's option one, right?
Correct.
Yes, and if it gets a majority, that's it.
Okay, thank you. No.
Tamara Swiderski?
Yes.
Yes. All right, going back to me, I'm going to abstain on this one. Mansoor Sabah.
So did you say to not change the escrow account?
I'll read it again. The NFC recommends the following strategy for paying the interest. Full payments starting in December, with it in mind to not use the escrow account for the remainder of the term of the loan.
Yes. I don't mean yes to the motion. I have to think about this.
Oh, you've already passed once. We can't pass twice.
So when you say, I'm sorry, Nancy Sorden.
Well, I know,
but what might clarify it for people? May I please? Is it says full payments, you mean by the stations, right?
Yeah, or by Pacifica.
Right,
we're
but not by the but not by the money market. The $200,000 set aside will not be
right.
used.
Okay. Exactly. That's
essentially just keep it as a reserve.
Exactly.
Mansoor?
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Okay, 7-4, 3 against, 1 abstention. Means that's
okay.
It.
Okay. I need to I'm going to move to extend time on this item for 15 minutes. We haven't even gone into specifics yet. Does anybody object to that idea?
Hold on.
Okay,
how long? What?
I want to extend this for 15 minutes since we haven't even gotten into the specifics of how to do the repayment. And we're already out of time. Was that understood? Hello?
Yeah, okay. Extend by 15 minutes.
Yes. Are there any objections? Hearing none, we got another 15 minutes on this. Okay, so having passed that little hurdle, There's been four proposals that I've come up with for specific ways to break this down, not to make matters even more confusing, but I'm hoping that we can get through this by deliberating rather than by voting. So the initial suggestion by Grace was that it be divided evenly among the stations. So that would be on a percentage basis, as far as the loan payments are concerned, 20% per station. The second idea that I came up with was doing it by membership. I'm not sure how well that would work because I don't know how well we track our membership roles. I'd like someone to comment on that after I list all four of these. Third suggestion would be by revenue, which is kind of the way that the central services calculation works with some minor deviations. And then the fourth way of doing it is just following the central services formula for the individual stations.